This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Roshan Kunnison, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today on the show, Enterprise Explores, the Asia-Pacific Small Business Survey released by CBA Australia, one of the largest professional accounting bodies in the world. And to help me break down this survey and explore the insights from it, we're joined online by Gavin Ort. He's the Senior Manager with the Business and Investment Policy Group at CBA Australia. And in the studio, I've got Azfar Assad. He is a Senior Manager, a Senior Advisor with the same division. With the release of the 15th edition earlier this month, the Asia-Pacific Small Business Survey provides insights into the sector of into the minds and sectors of small businesses across 11 economies in Australia, New Zealand, and of course, Asia. The annual survey indicates that 2024 looks to be or feels to be a better year than 2023, with 78% of small businesses expected to grow this year. This is Malaysia's best result or best survey result since 2012, and is higher than the average of 70% in the survey. Along the course of the conversation today, Gavin and Azfar will be giving us an in-depth breakdown of the survey and giving us a better picture of the state of small businesses here in Malaysia for 2024 and for the foreseeable future. If you have any thoughts, you can WhatsApp us on our U-Mobile number. That's 018-789-8899. Gavin, Azfar, thank you for joining me. First, Gavin, can you hear me loud and clear?
I can, yes.
Very nice. Good to have you in the studio with us.
Nice to be here.
Now, to start off the discussion, can you both provide us maybe an overview of the CBA Australia Asia Pacific Small Business Survey and its primary objectives? I know there's a lot to get into here, but just like an overview.
Yeah, thanks, Roshan, and thanks to all your listeners for joining us during our lunch hour. I hope you're having a good lunch. So our survey, as you said, Roshan, has been going for 15 years. And it's looking at during that time, we've surveyed over 43,000 small businesses across the region. For us, the goal of the survey is to look at and understand what are the characteristics of successful businesses and what are the characteristics of businesses that aren't doing so well. And then to look at that by market, compare over the time. And over 15 years, we've got a pretty good feel for what a successful business looks like and what a business that's struggling looks like. And hopefully that data can help your listeners improve their own businesses if they do think that's not going so well.
Yeah, no, I think that's the hope here, right? That through this conversation, we're going to get a little bit more insight into what's going on in Malaysia, but also regionally, a little bit of comparison there. But before we dive into all that, I think it's important to understand the methodology here to kind of people give a sense of how representative this is. And also, what is the definition of a small business, right? Because different markets might have a different definition. So what were the methodologies used in the survey and how does CBA Australia define or determine a small business?
Yeah, so it's an online survey. So we sent out the survey through a survey company and it's to a random sample of small businesses. But we do focus on the owner and the senior manager. Because obviously they've got a deeper understanding of how their business is performing. For us, for the purpose of the survey, we've defined small business as less than 20 employees. Now, as you said, there's lots of definitions of small business. So we sort of picked on one and that's what we're sticking to. So in Malaysian centres, might be more of the micro side, but that's the definition we've used across all markets.
And ultimately, I guess, you know, when people listen to results from surveys, it's important that they are representative, right? So how does the survey ensure that it is representative of small businesses across Malaysia?
Yeah, that's a great question and something we've very much focused in on because we want people to trust the survey data and the survey results. So the main way we ensure that the respondents, and there were 308 from Malaysia, the main way we ensure that the respondents are representative of Malaysian small business sectors. We have a look at the data from the Department of Statistics Malaysia and elsewhere to find out what percentage of small businesses are in the retail sector, what percentage of small businesses are in manufacturing. And so we set those caps in the survey so we don't get an overrepresentation of a particular industry in the survey data. And we try and ensure that we don't get an underrepresentation. So we broadly want industry to be broadly covered, and we don't want any under or overrepresentation by industry.
Okay, so that's what you've done to kind of make sure that the parameters are representative.
Yes.
The survey indicates, among other things, of course, significant growth in Malaysian small businesses in 2023, certain air of optimism as well that we'll dive in a little later. Overall, could you give us a sense of some of the key findings from the 15th edition of the survey to highlight the current state of Malaysian small businesses?
Well, in 2023, we see 66% of Malaysian small businesses reported growing. And this is a huge increase from 2022, which was 55%. So now it's the best result since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2024, Malaysian businesses also expect it to be a very positive year, with 78% expecting to grow this
year. Which is above the average, right?
Definitely above the average. So a major contributing factor we see to this positive result is the strength of the local economy. So 72% expect the local economy to grow, and this in turn will allow small businesses to ride the wave, so to say. So this beats the survey average of 65%. So a strong focus of a lot of the Malaysian small businesses on innovation and technology, including e-commerce, and they're seen to be as key factors for SME growth. So this sort of contributes to the positive sentiment for this year.
Yeah, and sentiment sometimes can be a bit of a tricky thing to manage, because on one end, there are going to be segments that are feeling negative about the state of the economy. But your survey seems to indicate that there are businesses, small businesses, that are more positive about it. Now, information, media, and telecommunication ranks as the top industry with most high-growth small businesses. So high-growth businesses with less than 20 employees, and this is in 2023. Can you give us a sense for why this industry stood out when compared to other industries in Malaysia?
So information, media, and telecommunications stands out among high-growth businesses due to the rapid digital transformation and increasing consumer demand for digital content and connectivity.
So these are our tech companies.
Tech companies, and we see pandemics probably shot this up more. Everyone's going online, everyone's working from home. We see the use of Zoom. Even now with Gavin Dalling to Google Meet, this would never have happened earlier. So this sector benefits from widespread adoption of new technologies and the global shift now towards remote work, digital communication, which have expanded markets and also created a lot of new innovative services for the digital side. Also, we see a lot of governments in the region sort of pushing policies that are focused on digital economy, which requires greater investment in the industry. So as the government sort of move towards this role, we'll see the private sector sort of creating products to fill in the policies, mm-hmm. and more people sort of enter the market.
I mean, as we speak, KL20 is going on here in Malaysia today and tomorrow. AWS Startup Day is happening tomorrow as well. So a lot of things happening in the tech startup ecosystem. And while not all of them are below 20 employees, there's still a lot growing in that space. But when we look outside of these more high-value, high-growth businesses, right, the tech startups, so-called, how can other businesses catch up with them, right, as with these top five industries, as mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so, look, certain industries are at a state of high growth, so you can't always think you're going to replicate such a high growth industry. But you can take sort of some lessons from those high growth businesses. So what we see is those high growth industries, they have a strong focus on tech. They've got a strong focus on innovation. They've got a strong focus on opening up new markets. They've got a strong focus on not just the technology side, but improving their business management skills as well. So I think those are sort of the key lessons that I hope that the listeners get from this, is that while they may not be able to replicate those high growth businesses, they can at least take a look at aspects of what those high growth businesses are and apply it to their business. Now, some of your listeners might be going, oh, look, I don't need social media. I'm running this business. I've run this business for 30 years. Why do I need social media? Well, before you dismiss the idea, go and speak to your customers. Go and speak to your peers that might run a business down the road, just to see what they're doing. And you might actually find that, yeah, they do actually want social media. Yeah, they do want you to use new payment technologies. So don't just automatically dismiss that, oh, that's the way I've run the business, or always is the way it's going to work in the future. talk to your clients, talk to employees, get some ideas. And then if you're struggling with how to apply, go and seek advice as well.
Now, Gavin, you point out social media and payment technologies because these were some questions that were asked in the survey itself, and we've got some questions about the details of the survey. Now that we've gotten a sense for the an overview, right, a broad understanding of what the survey was about and some key areas or key findings there. We're going into a few messages right now. When we come back, we'll talk a little further about what's behind that air of optimism as well as how Malaysia compares with the region. Folks, this is Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today I've been speaking with Gavin Ord and Azfar Assad, both from CPA Australia. And we've been exploring the 15th edition of CPA Australia's Asia Pacific Small Business Survey, which provides insights about small businesses or businesses under 20 employees across 11 economies, including Malaysia. I'm Roshan Gunnison. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Binge-friendly movies. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we're exploring the 15th edition of CPA Australia's Asia Pacific Small Business Survey, which provides insights about small businesses across 11 economies, including Malaysia. The annual survey results indicate that 2024 is expected to be a better year than 2023, with 78% of small businesses in Malaysia expecting growth this year. This is Malaysia's best result since 2012, and it's higher than the survey average of 17%. Helping me explore this, we've got Gavin Ord and Azfar Assad, both from CPA Australia, helping us break down this survey. Now, Gavin, I understand that you've been, this is your brainchild, really, this annual, the last 15 years of doing this. And I'm sure there's certain trends that you can see in the tea leaves there, but what we did see with this recent survey was, as I mentioned earlier, that air optimism, with small businesses seeing growth in 2023 and expecting further growth in 2024. What more can you tell us about small businesses' growth in 2023, especially considering the parameters, right? Like, we're seeing a lot of tech companies here, they're smaller than 20 people, maybe a little bit of a smaller base effect. Tell us, what more can you tell us about that?
Well, I like your description of air of optimism, because I think that's really, really came through in the survey. And when we commissioned the survey, we thought, oh, we're really uncertain this year, because it was such, yeah, we came out of the uncertainty of COVID, and then we lived in this period of high inflation, supply chain disruption, geopolitical risk. So we were really uncertain as to what the results would be for 2023. And they came out positive and optimistic. And I think when we reflected on it, and when we asked experts in Malaysia or elsewhere, they really saw 2023 as a year of recovery. A year of recovery for many small businesses across the region after 2 or 3 years of COVID-affected issues. And we also saw many economies in the region perform quite strongly, despite the challenges I just mentioned about high inflation, geopolitical risk, and slower than expected growth in major economies. I think another factor that contributed to a relatively strong 2023 was actually a byproduct of COVID. And the byproduct of COVID was not long COVID, but a lot of businesses shifted to technology to engage with their clients, to sell to their clients, to communicate with their clients. And what the survey has shown over many years, pre and post COVID, is the more technology a business use, the more likely that they are to grow. So yeah, in a sense, COVID forced all the businesses into the tech space, which they, yeah, some of them might have been reluctant, some of them didn't know, but they pushed into the tech space. And now they're actually starting to reap the benefits of that. The technology is allowing them to engage with more customers quicker. And also the technology is actually making them more efficient, which in a period of high inflation, high cost increases, is really important, that sort of productivity, that improvements that technology can bring.
So all that accelerated digitalization and adoption of tech, we're starting to see the fruits of all of that, given that, the year of recovery last year, people were getting through the pandemic. Now maybe we can start to see those productivity gains, especially after last year's focus on profitability became the key word, right? Became the cool thing on the blog as opposed to growth at all costs. Aswa, with 66% of businesses reporting growth here in Malaysia, how does this compare historically for Malaysia?
So based from our survey, the growth in 2023 was again the highest since the economic downturn caused by COVID. So based on our survey, we found historically 2015 and 2016 were the best years for small business growth in Malaysia, recorded at 69%.
Wow.
So it's encouraging to see that the growth in 2023 is measuring close to some of the best years we've had. So and hopefully 2024, with the expectations of businesses, we could have a new all-time high.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, expectations are just one thing. So we'll have to see next year, the next survey, kind of how that really does pan out. But again, as mentioned, small businesses look to be optimistic about their growth. And on top of that, nearly three quarters of Malaysian businesses expect the local economy to grow this year or in the next year. Any sense what's driving this optimism? I know Gavin gave us a little bit of understanding of what there was. Is there anything more specific there?
So again, Gavin mentioned the technology embraced by a lot of businesses. This would give them a sense of optimism that they're on the right track. So after 3 years of a lot of uncertainty, this sort of sense of certainty would give businesses, we're on the right track, 2024 will be a good year. And let's not forget that a lot of Malaysian small businesses have a very young age profile. So from our survey, we note that younger business owners tend to do better. They tend to be a bit more braver. They embrace technology. They're looking to sort of innovate in a sense. And there are a lot of non-survey factors, maybe from the economy, that we can see that sort of show optimism in the local economy. So exports are expected to recover from previous declines that we've seen. We see domestic demand and private consumption from COVID revenge spending, I guess. People have savings built up.
Yeah.
So both from the private and public sector, we could see a boost in tourism, especially since visa restrictions for certain countries are being eased. This could help increase tourist arrivals and spending. Infrastructure development in Malaysia, we're expecting the East Coast Rail Line projects. These are not only boost the construction sector, but they have trickle-down effects to many other sectors as well. A lot of government fiscal policies, so even for this year's 2024 budget, the government has allocated $44 billion for SMEs. And of course, these are separated into multiple initiatives such as digitalization, sustainable finance, and upskilling and reskilling, but they will have a trickle-down effect. And finally, we see the labor market is showing signs of improvement. I think this year in January, unemployment remained at 3.3%, but it sort of improved from December. So all these factors contribute to a sort of sense of optimism, and hopefully it translates to actual growth in a sense.
I know we've been expecting a recession for, I think, the last 2 years, ever since rate hikes started going up, and we still haven't seen that recession yet. The last few, over in the US, inflation is still looking to be a little on the hotter end. Maybe no rate cuts this year. So that's a stock market problem. That's a separate thing altogether. But when we look at can you tell us a little bit about how the expectations for growth from the Malaysian small businesses for 2024 compare with other countries in APAC?
So Malaysian small businesses are notably more optimistic about their growth in 2024 compared to a lot of other APAC countries.
Which is interesting, you know.
It's very interesting. Yeah. It doesn't match the sentiment on the ground, but they seem to be, in our survey shows that they're very optimistic. Mm-hmm. They do better than Singapore, Australia, and New Zealand. So the report indicated that 78% of Malaysian small companies expect to grow this year, which is higher than the regional average of 70%.
Wow.
Can I just add to that?
Please.
I mean, as I made the point that if I get a sense on the ground that's not as optimistic as what this survey data shows, well, this is like a random survey. This is what people are telling us. And, you know, when I see this data for Malaysia, I go, actually, Malaysia's looking pretty good. And if I'm Malaysia, I mean, with this, as you said, this air of optimism, I look at this data saying, yeah, Malaysia's actually better than what you might think it is going. So I'm coming from Australia where there's talk of recession. New Zealand's in a recession. So if I'm in Malaysia, I'll be going, it's actually not too bad. Maybe it's time to look at some investments, some new opportunities.
Challenges are going to be. Just because it's optimistic doesn't mean that it's going to be all sunsets and rainbows end of the day. So, Gavin, maybe can you give us a sense for some of the major challenges that Malaysian small businesses faced in 2023, and maybe how these have impacted growth prospects?
Yeah. So. It won't be a surprise to any of your listeners that the major challenge that came out of the survey is increasing costs.
And yeah.
across all markets, I think except one as far, that increasing costs was the major challenge. So that's no surprise. Outside of that, increasing competition was seen as a challenge. And I can understand why a small business might feel, such and such down the road is opening up a competitor. That's a challenge. But from a macroeconomic view, competition is actually really important for macroeconomic growth. Some also said that they were concerned about the Malaysian economic environment, and also the fluctuation in the ringgit was obviously a concern, particularly for businesses which are trade exposed. A fall in the ringgit makes imports more expensive. An increase in the ringgit obviously makes exports cheaper. So the fluctuations in the ringgit is obviously a difficult thing, particularly for smaller businesses to manage, because they don't necessarily have access to all the foreign exchange risk management tools that larger businesses have access to.
So it's end of the day, this optimism, this expectation of growth doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to do business or unchallenging. And as you mentioned, there is a increasing cost was cited as a major challenge. Do you have any insights as to which specific costs were the most burdensome for Malaysian small businesses?
Yeah, so the survey showed that the three costs the most detrimental to business were materials, labor, and utilities costs. For materials, obviously that was impacted by global supply chain disruptions throughout the year. But those are obviously diminishing at the moment, but definitely at the early part of 2023 was a big issue. For materials as well, geopolitical risks. So depending on your product, geopolitical risk can play a particular issue. And obviously, Ray Svar spoke about sort of that revenge spending that came out after COVID. So that unexpected increase in demand pushed up materials costs. In the energy utility sector, this is experience across the, we're seeing all markets. That's obviously driven by higher energy costs, oil, gas, and also the shift. We're in this period where we're shifting from fossil fuels to renewables, and there's sort of that's adding to energy production costs at this point in time. For labor, there was a high labor market, and obviously that leads to wage increases, particularly in the areas of shortage, skill shortage. And I forgot to mention that rent or property costs is definitely an issue in Malaysia. So property costs still remain high. And that's particularly in urban areas in Malaysia as a challenge that the rental costs.
Yeah, no, we've all, I think, heard stories over here of older tenants needing to leave the basically they couldn't afford the rentals anymore. And you had this, I mean, that's part and parcel of the gentrification we're seeing in certain neighborhoods. But, you know, the old Kopitiam has to close down. And then next thing you know, a more high-flying restaurant has come in that can maybe absorb that higher rental. But we are seeing it quite a few examples. Even across the street over in Tamatun, Artisan Coffee had to move out because of rental, from what I hear. Asfar, the survey highlights, among other things, the introduction of new products and services. Tell us more about this and what kind of trends you're seeing in innovation among some of the Malaysian small businesses that the survey speaks to, because at the end of the day, there is a subset of tech companies here.
Yeah, we see introduction of new products and services as innovation from these companies. We see that there's a very strong correlation between companies that are likely to innovate and business growth. So creating new products tend to lead to a greater business growth, sort of filling a gap in the market, basically. So we saw innovation among Malaysian small businesses are increasingly driven by young entrepreneurs who are embracing tech and digital solutions. There's a trend towards mobile apps and other digital platforms to enhance sales and customer engagement. So we see mobile apps from the survey were again the most popular technology for Malaysian small businesses to invest in. Everyone loves to have like countless apps on their phone and sort of lose track which one you're using at the same time. But the good returns generated by such investments are helping to drive Malaysian small businesses to focus on technology. So from these investments, we could see that 49% reported that their investment in such technology has brought them profitability. So Malaysian small businesses are identifying the key technologies that allow them to gain profit from it.
So the app economy essentially continues to allow these businesses to grow. And I guess that's a way of owning that relationship, right? We've seen like Zeus Coffee, for example, has its own app, doesn't just operate through Grab. A more personal example is, you know, this kopitiam I always like to go to, Tongki in Taman Si. They built their own infrastructure in order to kind of tap into the delivery, food delivery business that we were seeing. So it's good. It's nice to hear that the app investments continue to, that businesses are optimistic about that, because today developing app can be a very expensive endeavor for a lot of people. Gavin, unless you have anything else to add to that.
Yeah. Well, just on the app one, I mean, you make a good point. The other thing is that once you, if you do have your own app, you're actually capturing data as well. So, and that you could turn that data into greater insights into your business, greater insights into your clients, your customers, their preferences, what they can sort of find out what works, what doesn't work in terms of your marketing spend. So it's a really quite a powerful tool, that the data that's captured. But just be careful about the data, because you can capture pretty much data, and you've got to actually have that protected, so you don't want to become a focus for a hacker.
Yeah. You know, data is often cited as new oil, right? But at the end of the day, you got to process it properly. If not, you know, garbage in, garbage out. But that's in that same vein, you got to protect that data, because if it's valuable enough, that means, you know, given the rise in cyber crime and the importance of cybersecurity, you could become a target if you're not careful about how you are protecting that data that you are harnessing. And there's so many apps today, right? I mean, everyone, all of us open up our phones, and to the brands that we go to often enough, we might download an app because they're going to give us a discount or collect points, which can be very powerful long-term.
That's a very important point, because when we look at some of the points from our survey that we mentioned later on, we talk about customer satisfaction and customer loyalty, and those high-growth businesses start to sort of value these things, and apps and sort of these things, you get the discounts, like you mentioned, it builds that sense of loyalty to the brand in a sense. And for small businesses, that's very important, because you're dealing with, again, increased competition, as mentioned. And if you could have a sense of loyalty to a favorite kopitiam, for example, you'll always tend to go back to them.
Gentlemen, we got to go into a few messages. When we come back, we'll talk about a little bit more focus on innovation and how Malaysia seems to be more innovative than other countries in the survey. We'll dive into that and get a little more clarity, as well as, I think, you said earlier something about a high percentage of a younger demographic, a younger profile in small business owners. So another point that we do want to get into. Folks, this is Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we've been exploring the 15th edition of CPA Australia's Asia Pacific Small Business Survey, which provides insights about small businesses across 11 economies, including Malaysia. I'm Roshan Kunnison. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, we're exploring the 15th edition of CPA Australia's Asia Pacific Small Business Survey, which provides insights about small businesses across 11 economies, including Malaysia. The annual survey results indicate that 2024 is expected to be a better year for small businesses than 2023, with 78% of them expecting to see growth this year. This is Malaysia's best result since 2012, and it is higher than the survey average of 70%. Now, of course, just because it's more optimistic doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailings all the way. Helping me explore this survey so far has been Gavin Ord, Senior Manager with the Business and Investment Policy Team with CPA Australia. He's joining us virtually, as well as Azfar Asad. He's the senior advisor with the same team, the Business and Investment Policy Team with CPA Australia. He's joining me in the studio. Now, just again to remind everybody who just joined us, small businesses are defined as businesses with less than 20 people, which can include tech startups as well. Now, Gavin, according to the survey findings, Malaysia small businesses continue to have a good focus on innovation. Earlier, we were talking about the app economy, investment in apps, having good ROIs for them, and particularly when it comes to data. And when in particularly in comparison to small businesses from Australia, New Zealand, and Indonesia, Malaysia seems to be doing a little better on this front. Could you highlight some of the characteristics of high growth small businesses in Malaysia that demonstrate this focus on innovation?
Yeah, so it's a very good question. For us, I think that the major characteristic is the strong use of digital technologies in Malaysia. So give you an example, there's been 62% of Malaysian businesses generate 10% or more of their income from e-commerce. Now that's quite a jump from pre-COVID levels. So I think that's really, that tech focus is really contributing to their, to an innovation focus. But also I think before the break, we spoke about the profile, the demographics of Malaysian small business owners. And Malaysian small business owners are typically young, so under 40. And the survey shows that the younger the small business owner is, the more likely they are to be innovating. So, and that's across all markets. And I think it's a real positive for Malaysia that there's so many young entrepreneurs out there, because they're looking to innovate. And I think that'll be beneficial to Malaysia's, not just to their business, but to Malaysia's economy in the long run. Talk about tech startups and the conference going on at the moment in KL. This sort of young profile will really translate to innovation and growth over the next few years. And it's something I think the Malaysian government should be proud of, and Malaysia should be proud of as well.
And ultimately, it's good. It's nice to hear these things, because we are, you know, particularly one of the things I'm always watching is what's the new economy for Malaysia going to be? You know, because right now, a lot of our biggest companies here are all, you know, the older school businesses, industrials, plantations, oil and gas. Yes, we have we're punching above our weight when it comes to being part of the semiconductor industry. But, you know, there's a lot more people that need new economy jobs in the longer term. As we talked about earlier, right? So a few things that Gavin mentioned there, right? That younger profile we're seeing in the higher growth small businesses has been, I guess, plays a part in that technology adoption. The survey also mentions a strong update in tech among the Malaysian businesses, I think related to what Gavin said there. Could you maybe tell us a little bit more about the types of technologies being adopted and their impact on business operation profitability? Because we've talked about some elements of it. I mean, Gavin mentioned e-commerce just a little bit as well.
So from the survey, we found that the top three technologies that Malaysian small businesses would invest in were mobile apps, computer equipment, and website. Now we see these as sort of maybe basic intents, but in a sense, they sort of build the foundation for a lot of these small businesses. So mobile apps improve customer interaction and sales channels, and sort of broadens the market reach and creates, again, like we mentioned, the personalized customer service feel. So investment in good quality computer equipment can boost productivity. I mean, we probably need, moving on from legacy computer systems to something with AI, I guess, will help businesses keep up, improve productivity.
This isn't just hardware. I presume it's also software as well, the computer equipment?
Yeah, it could also fall into software as well. And it's sort of critical for scaling and integrating advanced technologies in a sense. And websites increase small businesses' visibility online, allowing businesses to reach a larger audience than sort of having a little traditional storefront in a sense. So going back on the value of the investment in technology, I think I mentioned earlier that 49% of Malaysian businesses reported that what they've invested in technology has brought on profitability back to them. So therefore, we can conclude that investments in mobile apps, computer equipment, website are key for most Malaysian small businesses.
Gavin, you mentioned earlier that they were seeing a high percentage of young entrepreneurs in Malaysia, when we define this by below 40. And among other things, you mentioned that, you know, this brings with them, you know, like a little bit of a tech-first mentality. They want to introduce all these tech tools, adopt and use them to improve productivity. Is there anything else, any other unique characteristics that having a higher proportion of younger entrepreneurs brings to the economy and to their businesses specifically?
Before I answer that question, I also want to say that just because someone's over 40 doesn't mean they don't know how to use tech. There are very many very successful Malaysian businesses which are run by much older people who are very successful. So I don't want people to come away with that impression. Mm-hmm. But the survey data does show that business owners under 40 are much more likely to be running these sort of tech-focused businesses. And it's not just also the other part of the data is it's not just young businesses. We also see data that a business which is, say, over 20 years old, which is owned by someone under 40, they actually also have the same characteristics. So regardless of the age of the business, the age of the business owner is actually more an indicator of tech adoption. So going back to your question around what sort of characteristics of these young business owners. So you mentioned about their tech savvy. They know the technology. They've lived with the technology. They're on their phones all the time. They understand the technology. So, and they also understand how to apply it in their business. In Australia, look, if you see the data, for example, there is Australian business owners are much older and they're much less likely to, for example, use social media. So we can go, gee, this is really unusual. So we then asked these older business owners, and they said, yeah, you know, we've got Facebook, you know, something like that. But they said, but that's what we use to communicate with our grandkids. We don't use it for business purposes. So they use the technology, but don't actually understand how to apply it in their business. We spoke before about younger business owners have a stronger focus on innovation. They see the value of innovation. But I think they bring a fresh perspective and innovative ideas. I think those innovative ideas can disrupt markets, and that in itself creates new opportunities for growth. Also, we do see that younger business owners are more adaptable or have a higher risk appetite. So they have an appetite, they see a shift in the market, and they have an appetite to go, okay, let's try that out. The market's shifting that way. Our consumers are changing. We've got the data that's saying this. So they're more willing to take those opportunities where they see an opportunity arise. And there's two other things I just mentioned quickly. Younger business owners, we see from the data, they've got a strong commitment to sustainability.
Oh.
And they adapt their business models to reflect that commitment to sustainability. And that obviously attracts like-minded consumers as well. And the last one is a global perspective. Younger business owners tend to have a stronger, a greater global outlook. And entering to new markets is an important driver of growth. So to understand how different markets are operating is really important. So all these things sort of add up to a business with characteristics related to growth. Now, if you're an older business owner and you're sort of struggling with these sort of topics, maybe one thing to look at is to bring in a partner who is younger. Uh-huh. They might bring in these skills themselves and help your business to grow that way. So you don't have to learn these things yourself, but maybe bringing in the talent or the partner with that knowledge could help your business.
Does that also explain how the younger age profile of small business owners affects the business practices and outcomes according to surveys? Is that pretty much the impact we're seeing?
Yeah, that's right. So all of these things together, and I think it all sort of bubbles down to the tech savvy, they've got a higher risk appetite, they're more innovative, they're looking to expand into new markets. So all these things add to those businesses being more likely to grow.
All right. We got more to get into, including the funding environment and how the finance part of it, this equation can be challenging, especially given the higher rate cycle that we're in. Folks, this is Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we've been exploring the insights from the 15th edition of CBA Australia's Asia Pacific Small Business Survey, which looks at 11 economies, including Malaysia's, and with a focus on their small businesses, which can include tech startups as well. I'm Roshan Kanesal. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bias-free media. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we're exploring the 15th edition of CPA Australia's Asia-Pacific Small Business Survey, which provides insights about small businesses across 11 economies, including Malaysia. And the way CPA defines small businesses are businesses with less than 20 employees. So this can include high-growth tech startups as well. Now, the annual survey results indicate that 2024 is expected to be a better year than 2023, with 78% of small businesses expected to grow this year. Malaysia's best result since 2012 and is higher than the survey average of 70%. Some other key insights is that Malaysia has a younger age profile when it comes to our entrepreneurs, which gives us, which leads to a little bit of a more, not aggressive, but a more proactive approach to technology adoption. And also we're seeing ROI from investments in things like apps, mobile apps, among other things. Now, helping me explore this this report has been Gavin Ord, Senior Manager with the Business and Investment Policy Team with CPA Australia. He's joining us virtually. And in the studio, I've got Asfar Asad. He's the Senior Advisor with the Business and Investment Policy Team as well with CPA Australia. Asfar, funding, obviously a key topic over the last year or so. A lot of businesses, a lot of tech startups have had to focus on profitability, or at least have that kind of path for profitability. So how did the external funding needs of Malaysian businesses change from 2022 to 2023, particularly in terms of growth versus survival? Tell us a bit about the insights here.
So our survey, we sort of asked this question, how did a company or a small business use external finance, whether they're using it for business growth or business survival? So we see the number of businesses seeking external funds for business survival decrease from 50% in 2022 to 26% in 2023. So this shows a big shift reflecting the growth of businesses in Malaysia. So we assume that in 2022, a lot of businesses were still paying off accumulated debts from COVID. Sort of the loans have shifted down. So businesses use their external funds to support growth and investment in capital assets this year, particularly. So we could probably see the increase in investments in mobile apps and technology that we mentioned earlier. And this then sort of shows a direct correlation in terms of growth. We see last year being probably one of the best years of growth since COVID, in a sense. So there is a direct shift in funding being used for business growth. And that business growth, or sort of the investment in business growth, has correlated to actually small businesses experiencing good growth this year and expecting better growth for 2024.
I guess because they're also smaller businesses, they're also earlier on in their growth cycle. So there's a bit more appetite for still to focus on growth, as opposed to if you were later stage, you would definitely need to have some sense of where the profitability is going to come in. Gavin, anything to add to that?
I totally agree. I think you're absolutely right that depending on the stage of their business, demand for finance is changing. So at the earlier stages, demand for finance is high. Then as the business starts to peak, the demand for finance starts to fall away. So definitely it does follow that business cycle that many of us would have studied at in university and school.
And obviously the quantums change as well. If you're earlier on, maybe not as much financing. Now, that's it. Access to financing can be challenging, to say the least. Based on the survey or your own insights, how easy or maybe even how difficult do Malaysian businesses find it when it comes to securing external financing based on the CPA survey?
So this is where we talk about the young age profile. This is where it actually translates into some difficulty. So what we do find is that in Malaysia, that Malaysian businesses were found it less easy to access finance than the survey average. And I think there's several reasons for this. And I think it's a lot to do with the age profile of Malaysian business owners. So if you are younger, you're less likely to have the collateral to back up a loan. You're less likely to have a long history of running a business. And you're less likely to have sort of the networks and connections which can help you secure finance. So I think one of the obviously with all positives there's a reaction, and for one of those for Malaysia it is that I think quite a number of small businesses do struggle accessing finance, and that's no surprise. If you're a bank or a lender, you're looking at their security, you're looking at their history of running a business, and you go, you just don't have the security, you just don't have the experience, you just don't have the history that a more experienced business owner has.
And this is a particular area that is not sensitive, but can be, so the younger you are, you don't have the same network effects or the same track history that banks may be willing to lend you that money. Yeah. How can we see improvement in this area, Gavin?
Yeah, so I think there's a few ways. I think obviously for those business owners, time, you just have to invest time into building relationships with the business bankers, invest time into building your financial literacy skills so you can explain what you're doing. So that's on the business side. On sort of the policy side, the government side, they could look at loan guarantees. So they could provide more loan guarantees to younger small business owners, promoting alternative financing products. So I think on the news, you're talking about Aeon Bank, the digital bank, opening up in the second quarter. So there's work underway in Malaysia already. So those are alternative financing options, which is also related to fintech. And also, I think just encouraging smaller businesses, younger small business owners to reach out to mentors and professionals for guidance. And I think if you go to a bank with a professional beside you, that really does help boost the lender's confidence in you and your ability to repay the loan and service the loan.
Right. And we are seeing a lot of those fintech solutions come into play. A lot of them have been on Open for Business, and anyone wants to learn more about them, you can always check out that show. Just look for Open for Business on the BFM app or wherever you listen to podcasts. So P2P financing seems to be an area of interest here. And, you know, as we come to the close in this conversation, Gavin, to wrap up, if we take into consideration the survey's insights as a whole, what policy recommendations would you suggest to support the growth and sustainability of Malaysian small businesses and high growth small businesses as well?
So I think, first of all, there's a lot of good characteristics already there. It's actually a really strong building base, a young, youthful small business owner profile. They're tech savvy, they're looking to grow, they're looking to innovate. So there's strong building blocks. Okay, so what do we do if you've got a young business profile? And I think some of the things are around trying to connect young business owners with experienced business owners. So the people who've gone through the Asian financial crisis, the global financial crisis, COVID, they bring lots of experience in on how to manage through and respond to crises. So I think that's the main thing, is connecting with mentors, connecting with experienced business owners, also connecting with professionals that can help them improve their business. So we do know that another attribute of growing business is that they seek advice. So don't be afraid to seek advice, and for government to get out there and support advisors, for example, IT consultants, business consultants, lawyers, accountants. They're all really well placed to support these young, youthful, growing businesses to take the right steps to generate not just a growing business, but a sustainably growing business.
Gavin, Asfa, it's been a pleasure speaking to both of you. Gavin, thank you for joining us over the line here. And Asfa, thank you for taking the time to join us in the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rosaran. Thanks, everyone.
Folks, I've been speaking with Gavin Orrett and Asfa Azhar. They're both from CPA Australia. Gavin joined us over the line and Asfa in the studio. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app. Our shows are also available on wherever you get your podcasts. Just look for Enterprise Explores. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.